We thank you that we can trust you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we continue our study in faith, Brother Ken has led us in music, and I'm thankful for that because he's right. We're looking at Sarah this week. Sarah, the first female we've looked at in this Hall of Fame, this Faith Hall of Fame, these heroes of the faith that the writer of Hebrews is writing about to encourage these Jews that have come out of somewhat bondage and slavery to the customs and laws that were leading these people of the day. They've been told and talked about a new covenant and the blood of Jesus and how we now trust in His finished work on the cross. We look to Him, the high priest who is set down at the right hand of God and is waiting for His enemies to become His footstool. The writer of Hebrews is encouraging these people to stay the course, to keep the faith, to run a good race, to keep the faith. And so also the writer for our day is encouraging our hearts to stay the course. We've looked at what faith is: assurance of things hoped for, conviction of things not seen. We've talked about Enoch and we've talked about Abel and their sacrifices, and we've looked at Enoch and a man that without faith it's impossible to please God. And we, people of God, in faith, it means we look to Him, we trust Him, and we believe that He is a rewarder of those who call on Him and depend on Him. And so we believe that to walk by faith, there's this trust, there's this expectancy, there's this waiting we're going to talk about this morning. There's this journey, it's a pilgrimage. And even in the life of Sarah, we're going to look at how we are frail, but our Father is faithful. We're going to look at how the problem sometimes to become so big in our life that we forget the promises. But at the very end, you're going to see a lady that is rewarded because of her faith. And it's kind of interesting to think about faith. The fact that it says that, look at the scriptures here. I'm going to read this to us. And I've already moved into my sermon, so I'm not going to have you stand this morning. We are going to honor God's word as we look at it and heed to it. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11, I love what it says about Sarah here. It's amazing to me. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since, now look at that connecting word there, she received power herself to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered Him faithful who had promised. Now, who do you think Sarah's looking at? Her feelings? Do you think Sarah's thinking about all of her problems and the fact that she's barren and the fact that she's 90 years old? She did lose sight. She did have her hard days. She did take her eyes off of, like Peter, like the Christ walking toward her, the Lord God and all of His power. But we see that she's rewarded because she knew and believed God was faithful. She considered Him faithful who had promised. Now look at verse 12. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead. Man, that's a good way to describe Abraham there, isn't it? From one man and as good as dead were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. Now we're going to see that is a good ending. That's the writer, the writer of Hebrews, and there is a good ending of this story. But at your first glance in Genesis chapter 12 through the book 21, God five different times had appeared to Abraham and spoken to Abraham and told him there is going to be a son that you're going to have through Sarah, that is going to be a child of promise. And through him, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you a land, a nation, and a people as numerous as the sand is on the seashore, as numerous as the stars in the heavens. But there's been this waiting game. It's been a long, long time, and Sarah has become impatient. And so one day she, though it wasn't a good practice, it was something that was somewhat of a, it was allowed. She went to Abraham and she said, Abraham, it's been a long time. I'm 90 years old. I'm barren. And so I want to give you my maidservant, Hagar, to have a son with. And the Bible says that Abraham agreed and he took her, and there was a baby boy born named Ishmael. Now, in thinking about that, Abraham gave in. And Abraham said, okay, whatever you think is okay, we'll allow this to happen. Now, what happened was this: you've got Sarah now trying to help God out. Anybody ever guilty of this? You got that? You know, we can wait to a certain point, and then we're like, God needs our help because it's not. A lot of times we'll say, Lord, we're going to trust you if, and we put this condition on our trust in the Lord. And Christians are bad about this. Y'all, this isn't just, I mean, this is followers of Jesus that say, we're going to trust you, but we're going to help you out. Because, and what are we saying in that regard? We're saying, God, I know you have a plan and purpose, but I have a plan and purpose too. And I think that we can work together on this and it'll all work out in the end. So in essence, what are we doing in that? Are we trusting God? We're not. We're not. And I want to tell you that in the journey of faith, there are those times where we struggle. We take our eyes off of God. We feel and realize, we look at the problems. Y'all, those are serious problems. To be barren, to be 90 years old, I think we all can relate and say, well, we could see why Sarah would do that, but that's not. You remember here that she's being seen as a lady with great faith, but here is not a good example for all of us. We trust, we obey, we don't try to help God out. We believe the impossible. That's what faith is: seeing, trusting, waiting, hoping, and knowing that our God is able and our God is faithful to accomplish His purposes. And being faithful and busy in the last thing He told us to do as we wait. Because I think about Noah, right? We just finished Noah a couple weeks ago, and Noah believed God, and what did he do? He went to work. He was building a boat. It took him 120 years. So faith is not just some kind of dead waiting and hoping and God's going to work it all out in the end and we're just going to sit here. Faith is a believing and a acting. Remember, faith without action is dead, James said. So a true faith is a resolve to commit, to continue, and to look, as we talked about last week, as we talked about Abraham. You know, what was it? Remember the three L's? See, I tell you, alliteration's good because it helps us remember. And I bet we can come up with it together. I know there was a living and a looking. What was the first one? Anybody else remember? Huh? A leaving. Thank you, Brother Kenny. Thank you. See, there even I struggled and I delivered it. All right? There was a leaving. There was a living. There was a looking as we walk by faith. There's a trust in regard that we believe and we act on our belief. I was even looking at in Sunday school this week. We read Revelation 20 as we were talking about the doctrine of the last times and last things. And I think it was Revelation 20 verses 11 through 13. It talked about the judgment and the great white throne judgment. And it talked about the judgment of the dead and the judgment of those that, as we look at the books and the two different books that are going to be pulled out. And I couldn't help but to think that there's a group of people that are going to be condemned by their actions. So a lot of people, Jesus said, are going to say, Lord, didn't I do this? And didn't I preach? And didn't I do this? And didn't I? And He's going to say, depart from me, for I never knew you. But at the end times, in Revelation 20, in judgment of the lost, and as we talked about, they're going to be consigned to, just before they're being consigned to hell, there's going to be these books open, and there's going to say, look at this deed. Look at this deed. Boy, look at this deed. Look at this deed. Now, we're not talking about a salvation. We know that we don't earn our salvation based on works. But we do believe that works are a result of a dead heart. We do believe that actions proceed from either an alive, vibrant faith that's trusting and looking to God, or they proceed from a heart that is cold, dark, and dead, that has no regard for God. And at the end, the books are going to be open, and our works are going to either condemn us, or they're going to show fruit that resulted in a faith that was vibrant, trusting the work, finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I will tell you, there's going to be a lot of missteps on my pages. A whole lot of missteps. And even looking at these heroes of the faith, as we think about Noah, as we think about Abel, as we think about Abraham and Sarah. You know, Sarah, as I told you last week, God is preparing us for the promise, and He's preparing the promise for us. And I want to tell you that in my life of faith and in Sarah's life of faith, there is this work of God behind the scenes that is shaping us and molding us and making us and conforming us. One pastor said that it takes 100 years to have a big, strong, solid oak tree. And Brother Don can grow you a squash in 6 weeks. What are you, an oak tree or a squash? We want quick, immediate results. But I'm going to tell you, living a life of faith, as we talked last week with Abraham, it's a pilgrimage. It's a journey. It is a walk. And sometimes we feel like we're in a barren land. Sometimes our job that we think should be ours is not coming the way we need it to come. Some lady in here may be thinking, I should have been married 10 years ago, and I'm still single, and I'm never going to have children. I'm never going to have a husband. Some of the things that are so near and dear to family and our heart, there's been this longing, there's been this waiting. Can you imagine? I know it's been, let's go over here and look at Genesis chapter 16. Because God is going to prepare Sarah. He's going to prepare her for this. And it takes time. Genesis, I'm trying to find my page over here. So it's in Genesis chapter 16. Look at what she did. Now Sarah, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children. She had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar. Genesis 16, chapter 16, verse 1 through 6. And Sarai said to Abram, "Behold, now the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go into my servant, it may be that I shall obtain children by her." And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. So after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian, her servant, and gave her to Abram, her husband, as a wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked with contempt on her mistress. And Sarai said to Abram, "May the wrong done to me be on you. I gave my servant to your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, she looked on me with contempt. May the Lord judge between you and me." But Abram said to Sarah, "Behold, your servant is in your power. Do to her as you please." Then Sarai dealt harshly with her, and she fled from her. Do you see what happens when we try to help God out? Did y'all see that? Things that are supposed to be pure and righteous and according to God's plan, when we tweak it, when we say we're going to help it, we're going to speed it up a little bit, next thing you know, there's resentment, there's bitterness, there's division, there's hurt. Now you got a single mama fixed to be kicked out with Ishmael trying to raise a son on her own. You've got her lady who was the one who was over her and to take care of. Now she resents her because she's got a big belly and she's going to have a child. And this other lady, and Sarah, is not able to have one. Then you're going to see a family divided. You're going to see brokenness. You're going to see hurt. Actually, you're going to have a father of a nation named Ishmael, who is the father of all the Arabs. That's why the Arabs and the Jews have been fighting for 3,000 years. Because somebody wanted to help. We want to help speed things up a little bit. We want to help God out. Do you see how our decisions can have serious and detrimental consequences? Now, I will say this. Lord sovereign. And the Lord's still on His throne, and the Lord's still working in all things. I don't understand it, but if we mention the word providence, we mention the word sovereignty, we would look at Joseph in the midst of his brothers who sold him into slavery. Next thing you know, he's in a pit, he's in prison, he wound up just taking this huge journey, but God got him right where He wanted him, and He used him greatly to save His people. Now, that's not something I'm going to try to explain to you this morning, but a God who is able, who is faithful, who is strong and mighty, He takes even our messes and He turns them into His plan and purpose. Now, that does not give you license to go make a mess, all right? We're to be responsible. We're held accountable. We're to seek God in His plan. We're to pray, God, may Your kingdom come and Your will be done. And we're to trust Him and we're to obey Him. We're to follow Him. But in your mess, God's still at work. And He's still able. And in Sarah's mess, God is fixed to move her and protect her and deliver her and show her His power to where she's going to be called a hero of the faith, an example for you and for me. And I can't wait to get into 1 Peter 3 and show you what a powerful example she is. But she's still getting there. The Lord's still working. We sing the little song, He's still working on me. He's still working on me, thank God. He's still working on you. And right now He's working with Sarah. There's a couple of things in Sarah's life that I believe that God really used to make her that oak tree, to strengthen her faith to where the writer of Hebrews says that she conceived since she knew the God, that God was faithful. A couple of things, and it seems may seem kind of odd, but one is going to be the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah, and the other one is going to be the deception with Abraham, with King Abimelech. These two things, I believe, that are right between where Sarah is going to be promised a child, or where she's going to go through this. And just before God blesses her with Isaac, you see this destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, even after Abraham pleads, if there's just 10 righteous. And then you're going to see this deception, and God is going to protect Sarah. Can you imagine your husband going, it's okay for you to go be in King Abimelech's harem. It's okay for you to pretend like you're his wife or one of his concubines, because I'm scared. And I know that I don't believe that they fear God here in this town and so what I'm going to do is just tell them you're my sister. Which, remember, they did have the same father, so some of y'all do that same thing, right? Well, it's kind of a partial truth. I mean, you really are kind of my half-sister. Y'all ever do that? Yeah, you do. We do it. But in this, God is going to give Abimelech a dream that says, what in the world are you doing? I'm fixed to bring judgment on your house, and all of your female, all of you guys are going to be barren because you've got the wife of Abraham. And the king, a pagan king, still says, I've not touched her, and I'm not going to touch her. I'm sorry. He told me she was his sister. He goes to Abraham, and I'll say, well, if you want to look with me, we're actually going to see this. I'm going to skip ahead, then I'll come back to the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 20 and look at verse 2. And Abraham said of Sarah's wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife. Now Abimelech had not approached her, so he said, Lord, will you kill an innocent people? Did he not himself say to me, she's my sister? And she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and the innocence of my hands, I have done this. Then God said to him in the dream, yes, I know that you have done this in the integrity of your heart, and it was I who kept you from sinning against me. You see how God's working, even in our messes? Therefore, I did not let you touch her. God says, now then, return to man's wife, for he is a prophet, so that he will pray for you, and you shall live. But if you do not return her, know that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours. Man. Abimelech says, man, I didn't know, but I promise I'll make it right. Have mercy on me. Says, so Abimelech, verse 8, so Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told them these things, and the men were very much afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, what have you done to us, and how have I sinned against you that you have brought on me and my kingdom a great sin? You have done to me the things that ought not to be done. It says, and Abimelech said to Abraham, what did you see that You did this thing. Abraham said, I did it because I thought there was no fear of God at all in this place. And they will kill me because of my wife. Besides, she is indeed my sister, the daughter of my father, though not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife. And when God caused me to wander from my father's house, I said to her, this is the kindness you must do to me. At every place to which we come, say of me, he is my brother. So Sarah and Abraham had this little agreement. And Sarah was submissive. I'm fixing to take you to 1 Peter 3. Sarah loved Abraham. She obeyed him and she called him her master. And this was an honorable thing to the Lord because she submitted to her husband. As she submitted to the Lord by submitting to her husband. And she was protecting him. And she says here that they had this and they both said this. And Abraham makes this excuse and he said that this is what I did. This is what I wanted to do. Or this is what we did. It says, did Abimelech took sheep. Actually, go back to verse 14. Then Abimelech, remember he's trying to make this right, took sheep and oxen and male servants and female servants and gave them to Abraham and returned Sarah his wife to him. And Abimelech said, behold, my land is before you. Dwell where it pleases you. To Sarah he said, now listen how Sarah may be, her faith may be strengthened in this. To Sarah he said, behold, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. It is a sign of your innocence in the eyes of all who are with you. And before everyone, you are vindicated. Then Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech and also healed his wife and female slaves so that they bore children. For the Lord had closed all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. God protected Sarah. God showed his power here. Do you notice these women were barren much like Sarah? And what did God do? He opened up their wombs. Sarah and Abraham came out, even after a mess, they came out really smelling really great, smelling like a rose. They've got 1,000 animals. They've got land anywhere they can live. They've given them gold and silver. And God is working even when we are struggling. Sarah would, I believe, be strengthened in this and through this. The other thing is she saw God's power over his enemies. In Sodom and Gomorrah, if you want to look with me real quickly as we just make another example here, we're going to look at the story here is, you remember the story. Of Lot living here. Two men are coming to him, and these people coming in their sin and saying, give us these men. We want to have relations with them. Lot says, well, take my daughters instead. And the men tell him that God's fixed to destroy this place. You need to take your son-in-laws and your two daughters and your wife, and you need to get out of here. And the son-in-laws didn't believe. Remember, our actions have consequences. The son-in-laws say, we don't believe you. The daughters with Lot and his wife left. We know that, of course, his wife was not to look back, and she looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. But Lot and his two daughters would escape. But if you look here, verse 23 of chapter 19, the sun had risen on the earth when Lot came to Zoar. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah, sulfur and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the valley and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. But Lot's wife behind him looked back and she became a pillar of salt. Verse 27 of chapter 19 of Genesis. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord, and he looked down towards Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the valley. And he looked, and behold, the smoke of the land went up like smoke of a furnace. So it was that when God destroyed the cities of the valley, God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had lived. We see here a couple of probably examples to where Sarah's faith would be, as it's been tried and tested, as she's not been perfect, as she's made some bad decisions, she still looked to the Lord. She trusted Him. She's seen God's power over His enemies. She has seen God's power over a womb that is barren. And now in verse 21, after Abraham and Abimelech story of chapter 21, we see the birth of Isaac. We see now Sarah. Let's just read it. It's just six verses. Genesis 21, verses 1 through 7. The Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore him Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, and God, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children, yet I have borne him a son in his old age. So they're now laughing now out of joy and love for God and His blessings. But at first when Sarah heard the story, she laughed thinking, how in the world could God do such a thing? God strengthened her. God showed her the child of promise. Isaac was born. And we come now to toward the end where we think about what this means. And just looking at some of the applications, Sarah was successful in the pilgrimage of faith because she considered God faithful even when she was not. You and I can hope in a faithful God even in our frailty. We must hold to the promise and know that God's word and His faithfulness to His people is strong even when we have problems and trials. We can also see here that, and we'll look at this in a second. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's look at Sarah, what another New Testament writer says about Sarah. 1 Peter 3. Now, this is in the context of suffering for being a Christian. This is in a context of we're to submit to our government, even if they're not doing the things they ought to do. It's a time where the people are to be a people of peace, a people of prayer, a people of who are loving God and obeying Him and reflecting His image, the light of Jesus to a lost and dying world. And in the middle of this, Sarah is seen as a great example when she says, when Peter writing says, likewise, wives be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see the your respectful and pure conduct. Man, it's just thinking about Sarah, a lady of respectful and pure conduct toward Abraham. It says, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the wearing of gold, or the putting on of clothing. It says that Sarah, even at 90 years old, was a beautiful lady. And it's not because of her outward appearance of adorning and gold and earrings. And she was beautiful because she loved God. She was respectful and pure conduct, the Bible says. And she was an example for all ladies in the submissiveness to God and love for husband and being beautiful inside with a pure conduct. Verse 4 of chapter 3 of 1 Peter. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. So with Sarah's fixed to be lifted up, she was beautiful because of a pure heart, an imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. She was not loud. She was not boisterous. She was not always the center of attention. She was not always out front. It says, which in God's sight is very precious. Now look at that, ladies. Now we've picked on men and we've talked about being children of Abraham and leading your families well. And I've always pointed at the men. Here, ladies, we see a beautiful lady that's not because of her outward appearance. We see a beautiful lady because she is, it says, the hidden person of the heart, imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. Sarah is heralded at a great, as a great example of a wife. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by submitting to their husbands. These holy women of old, this is how they showed honor to the Lord and submissiveness to Him, was by showing honor to their husband. It says they adorned themselves by submitting to their husbands. Now look at this, verse 6. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Now we've got another sermon brewing here, and now is not the time of it. But just by quick notes on this, we see a holy conduct, we see holy character, and we see a conscience that's clear. Conduct, character, and conscience, and it says that she didn't fear anything. Guys, I'm going to tell you, when I've got a sinful conscience, I'm scared. I worry. When I'm pure and right with my wife, when I'm holy before the Lord, when I'm walking in with integrity, I'm forsaking sin. The character that I talked about, Bruce, and I'm ready, I'm confident, I know the Lord's on the throne, I'm trusting in Him. It says she didn't fear anything. And it was because it says that she has a holy character. She was pure, she was righteous before the Lord. She trusted God. She submitted to the Lord by submitting to her husband. It says she called him master, she called him Lord. You say, boy, that's Old Testament stuff. Well, this is New Covenant promises. This is Peter, this is Hebrew, the writer of Hebrews talking about this. Sarah is a model example, seen as a lady that is in the Faith Hall of Fame. And we see here, and lastly, is God renames Abraham and Sarah. God only gave a few sacramental names, names that were given and associated with His covenant declaration. God renamed Abram, which meant exalted father. He became Abraham, which was father of many nations. Can you imagine now every time you hear the word Abraham, hears his name, father of many nations. Sarah's name became, from Sarai, went from meaning princes to meaning mother of many nations. So now a lady who was barren and old and probably trying to get signed up for Social Security, she's going to have a son, and he's going to be so blessed. And God's going to give her 34 more years to experience the blessing. Don't help God out. Just trust Him. 34 more years she's going to enjoy this child. She's going to see God's hand at work. She's going to see and experience His promises and His blessings. Just trust Him. A lady that went from meaning princes, meaning mother of many nations, a lineage that continued through all who believe in Jesus. Galatians talks about this. Romans says this, Romans 9, 4 through 9. The Jews, the people of Israel, theirs is the adoption, the sonship. Theirs the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of the Messiah, who is God over all, forever praised. However, it is the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. For this was how the promise was stated, at the appointed time I will return, and Sarah will have a son. That's Romans 9, 4 through 9. As Christians, Jesus has given you and I a new name. We have been called the beloved children of the King. We can't even imagine what God will do through us if we trust and walk by faith and trust His promises, knowing that He will do through us what He desires if we'll wait for Him, if we will wait for Him. Sarah was a beautiful lady. It says that she received power to conceive since she considered Him faithful who had promised. She was prepared by those setbacks and those trials, and she was also proven by the trials, the hardships. God was at work even when we didn't understand it, always working. What about us? Do you believe God is able? Do you believe God is powerful? Do you believe God is true? Do you believe God is faithful? Do your actions say that? Do your deeds show that? Are you believing even while waiting? Don't try to help God out. Just trust, as the song says. Trust and obey. Are you barren and old? It's okay. God is bigger than our circumstances. Let us look to Him. Scriptures say, one of the beautiful gospel messages, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Faith is believing that God exists and He rewards those who seek after Him. The gospel says, all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you will confess your sin, His faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Where are you on this pilgrimage of faith? Have you begun? Have you looked to Jesus and seen that, saw that He died in your place and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner, and save me. I want to follow You. Have you begun your journey? Are you trusting the Lord? Are you in a barren state, believing that you're tired of waiting, you feel like giving up? Continue to look. Place your eyes on Jesus, knowing that we're only here for a short time. We're almost home, the song says, Quinn. Almost home. We're almost home. It's going to pass quickly. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Look to Him. God loves you and He has a plan for you. You're destined for greatness. Believe God and let's go change the world. Let's be like Sarah. Let's be like Abraham. Let's be like Noah. Let's walk by faith. Enoch, closely to God, trusting Him, knowing He's got a plan. Let's go, man. Let's go. Let's go. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You so much for Your many blessings. We thank You for the hope we have in Christ. We thank You that we know You're coming back. We know we're here, and while we're here, we're to walk with You. We're to trust You. We're to look to You. We're to see how powerful You are, knowing that You're able, knowing that You're capable. We know we're works in progress. God, we know that we struggle. We know that we take our eyes off of You at times. But help us, God. Help us. Help our unbelief. God, for those who have not entered this journey, may they look to Jesus and believe. May they be set free from the power and penalty of sin and where it's going to take them. God, may they experience abundant life. And God, for the one that's in a barren state, God, that feels like You've left them, that feels like there's no hope, that feels like that, Lord, they've already moved past their into a lonely place, God, I pray that You would reveal Yourself to them and strengthen them. Bring them back where they need to be. Use them for Your glory. Give them purpose. Lord, we thank You so much for Jesus and hope we have in Him. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand as Brother Ken leads us?